And welcome everybody to Overtime here on YouTube. Kyle, you make it okay into Overtime World?
Enough to answer phones and maybe okay. Ad-lib.
Uh-huh, yeah, a little bit of that. Moving to Skype land, Rob, you make it okay?
Yes, indeed. I'm here and we sound good on YouTube.
We are on YouTube, that's good. Gila, you're still in your other location.
I am. Okay. We are here. We are live. Welcome to the people who are with us on YouTube.
And we have Alex as well. Alex, every time, can you just...
I think he's messing with
the mute button. I don't know why it's such a difficult thing to press the mute button.
This is very funny. This is hilarious.
You think he's doing it intentionally?
I needed this.
I don't think anybody needs this.
Okay, we got a phone.
Well, the phone call can wait. You haven't given out the phone number yet, for God's sake.
I actually legally can't answer
I'm trying... okay, then don't answer it. I'm trying to get Alex to say a word that we can hear.
He's not muted. Okay, yeah, I hear something.
Alex, did you change something since the show?
I think something turned off, given the period of time. So something automatically turned off. So this sounds better now, correct?
You are with us.
Yeah, you know, you just got to let us go in there and make all the settings so that things stay put. That would be nice.
I welcome that. You know, I miss physically getting together on Wednesdays. I really do. It was always such a fun highlight of the week. But I'm pretty close to a window, as you may or not be able to see. But so I'm wondering, is there background noise coming in through my phone?
No background noise to speak of.
A gentle din.
Yes. Okay. Whoever is calling before we even give out the phone number, we're not going to answer you, and we won't answer you in the future if you don't stop.
Yeah, this is outrageous.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Well, we know who it is.
Because we're not ready yet. We're just not ready for any of this yet.
Don't make assumptions, Alex.
Yeah. I wanted to continue talking about Facebook a little bit, because I think that's an important topic that needs to be discussed. And that's, of course, the blocking of news on Facebook. Why is Alex walking away?
He excused himself, I think, or some sort of gesture that he had to, maybe he has to walk around.
I can make a gesture, too, and excuse myself. You want me to do that? Here's the gesture.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Just
now watch me walk away. I'll do that.
No. Pump the brakes.
No, I've had a day, okay? It's been
But continue with this news stuff, because this is really important. It's, like, blamed constantly in a lot of the rhetoric. That, like, journalism's the problem and stuff.
Look, we just saw WCBS disappear a couple of weeks ago, all right? Bastion of journalism in the city. We see newspapers shutting down virtually every day. You know, we see television news being destroyed. We see all sorts of horrible things happen. And the thing you can always point to is that advertising dollars are way down because people aren't advertising with those traditional media outlets anymore. But they are advertising with Facebook, and they are advertising with other social media entities. They are making a killing. So is it unfair to assume that they should, you know, give something back? Now, the people at Google said something that I thought was correct, actually. They said that you can't pay per link. That breaks the Internet. That's not how the Internet was designed. And that is true. But what you can do is set some kind of structure up where when you're benefiting greatly from linking to news stories or having news stories on your site from another source, you need to support that. You need to keep that going. Just like, you know, we get harassed all the time when we go to a news site that basically says, won't you subscribe and support us? We can't subscribe to every newspaper, obviously, but I do understand the sentiment. And there are those select ones that I do subscribe to because I support them. And how else would you possibly survive? Advertising dollars, subscribers. And at 2600, we do it without the advertising dollars. So it's a real challenge. But to simply say, no, it doesn't, we gain nothing from it, and we're just not going to pay a penny for that. And by the way, we're just going to block all the access, you know, to any news story in Canada, and we're going to basically replace that with just made-up news that our own people will put forth on the platform. It's just, it's nonsense. It really is. Yes, Rob.
You know, what fascinates me most about this, and I've been browsing the posts by Meta about changes to news availability on our platforms in Canada that they put up in June of 2023 when this all went down. And what fascinates me most about this is just the basic concept of news is no longer allowed in Canada, according to this. And what counts as news? Does it have to be from a big commercial entity? Would WBAI be news, even though it's a small non-commercial concern? Would a podcast be news? Would a blog be news? Would, you know, your Aunt Tilly talking about what Henry Crenn and Minnie Bannister from Over the Road are doing this week, is that news? Where the line is, I wish I knew more about what this is actually like for a Canadian user, and I would love to hear from somebody in the chat or over the phone who can speak more about this, because I would like to know what Facebook is like if you can't use news.
Right. I mean, I don't use Facebook, so I don't really know what it's like with or without news, but I'd like to know how important news is to the user. I do know it's important to Facebook. I do know it's important to, they benefit from it tremendously because it elevates the level of conversation that people have. You know, if you're talking about real news as opposed to something that somebody just made up on their own, you know? Taylor Owen is a founder of McGill University's Center for Media Technology and Democracy. He says the news, or she, Taylor could be a woman's name, I suppose. They said the news being talked about in political groups is being replaced by memes. The ambient presence of journalism and true information in our feeds, the signals of reliability that were there, that's gone. And you better believe that affects the quality of the discourse that follows. The lack of news on the platform and increased user engagement with opinion and non-verified content has the potential to undermine political discourse, particularly in election years. That's according to researchers. You can't say that news is valueless. It most definitely is. And there's certainly a connection between the plummeting advertising revenue of journalism and the booming advertising revenue of social media.
Yeah, I mean, what do you read instead if there is no authoritative journalistic voice in your community? What replaces that? I mean, this stuff instead is not equal. It's information, but it's not of the same quality. And to sort of have trusted these platforms that they would curate and allow or otherwise interoperate with the news, and instead basically forcing them to create their own subscription models and compete with whatever's on their walled out garden, mm-hmm. Basically they're walled from journalism, from a lot of that stuff being distributed as freely and taking all of those users out and then amplifying speech that basically denigrates the idea of journalism is itself corrosive and has aided in all of that. And I don't know that Facebook or these platforms were ever the answer for what has happened to those sources of information, but consolidation and their benefit of from it, and then a refusal to cooperate on any level and instead wall it out,
right,
is a consequence, and they bear a responsibility and have benefited in, I guess, users looking at what they are curating.
Uh-huh. And, you know, it should also show beyond a reasonable doubt that these platforms cannot replace journalism. They absolutely cannot, because look what happens when you eliminate the journalism. When you don't have access to news, you get made-up crap. You get conspiracies. You get panic and hatred. That's what it gets replaced with. So you need actual journalism to be out there, and if Facebook and their ilk want conversations that have any degree of legitimacy to them, they need those journalist sites as much as the journalist sites need advertising dollars. Now, Google was about to do the same thing back in December. They were about to cut links to news stories, but they reached an agreement. They reached an agreement that requires Google to pay $100 million Canadian dollars annually, indexed to inflation, to news outlets. Yeah, they agreed to do this. Now, an announcement by Canadian Heritage Minister Pascal Saint-Onge said the funding would be used for a wide range of news businesses across the country, including independent news businesses and those from Indigenous and official language minority communities. The statement said that Google would pay a single collective, which would distribute the funds to eligible news agencies based on the number of full-time equivalent journalists engaged by those businesses. A sustainable news ecosystem is good for everyone, Ms. Saint-Onge said, adding that newsrooms closing and laying off workers means that the health of the Canadian news industry has never been more at risk. Same thing here in the USA. We need people to realize that and to save these places before they disappear. They don't come back when they disappear. And it's hugely important.
Defend them when they're being attacked, too. I mean, mm-hmm. It's yeah. Important.
Hey, can I read you a quote?
Before sure.
We take a phone call. It's from volume 40, number 4 of a magazine called 2600.
Familiar with it.
Yeah, I bet you aren't. And it's from page 53.
That's your column. That's your column, Alex. You're quoting your column.
I submit. That's right. I am quoting my column. That's right. I submit that it's time to pull the plug. To reclaim the power of moral suasion that social media has usurped, and to the degree possible, we should revert to traditional and trusted sources of information that have served us all well our whole lives. And then the article goes on to some crazy Marshall McLuhan quote. But yeah, I mean, look, if it's in print, it must be right. I mean, we've been saying this, I think. And in fact, I was arguing this just, what is it, 3 issues ago, right?
There's a news process, and that this content has gone through it to a certain degree, and the platforms themselves have messed up and otherwise not controlled the way articles and news is organized, and or they haven't paid for it, or they're only accepting stuff that is paid to be there. So they it was broken before. Long before.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, just because something is in print, just because something is broadcast, does not mean they are infallible. They are not also subject to being scrutinized, that they can't get something completely wrong, that they can't be irresponsible. Absolutely. But when you simply open up the gates and say, everybody is the same, everybody can just make up news, what do you think is going to happen? We're seeing it right now.
Or they automate it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they had structures and departments that were doing news, and I think Google's case, I don't know if they're still doing that, but they're not really keen to integrate that into their business model.
Right.
Even though they're talking about organizing information, that might be separate in terms of mission and scope. But then who knows? Because they're, of course, creating all of these parent shell companies. So what's their mission?
Look, they're doing really well. They're doing really well the way things are right now. They're doing too well because other companies are suffering, and it's a direct result of the fact that they're doing really well. So let's even it out just a little bit and save journalism and make social media better. Is that such a bad thing? I don't think it is. Okay, let's take phone calls. 802-321-4225.
I'm ready.
802-321-HACK is the phone number. Whoever was calling before, feel free to call again, assuming you're listening to us. Could have been a telemarketer, you know. We get those occasionally. You should put a telemarketer on the air. That might be fun.
I'll answer that call.
Yeah. We don't discriminate against area codes or anything like that.
It's first come, first serve.
I know, we're just waiting now for the phone. Oh, there's the phone. You going to pick that up?
Yes.
Okay, and here we go. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, I'm calling from my wired headphones this time.
This is Rebel. Rebel, was that you calling earlier?
No, it wasn't, because I just got here, so, you know, so I guess it's...
And Kyle confirms, based on caller ID data, that it was not you that called, so it was a mystery.
He answered
who was calling earlier.
Truthfully, yes.
They must have something really important to say. So, Rebel, make it quick so they can get through.
Okay, I'm calling from my... Now I'm talking
away from
the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking away from the microphone now.
Keep moving away from the microphone. Keep moving.
Well, no, because I'm talking into the microphone now.
Run, oh, stop talking that way.
Oh, by the way, last week I was using my Bluetooth headset, and somebody in the chat said that it's terrible and you should get your money back. It's not the headset. It's your system that, you know...
We are aware of this. We know that it doesn't happen on the radio station. It doesn't happen on VAI because we don't take phone calls, and also because they use compression. What we do here on YouTube is we take phone calls, and there is no compression, so the audio goes way down on phone calls, even though to us it sounds fine. We were going to test it, but nobody here communicates, so we weren't able to test it before the show. So, we're doing it again, and what our friend Junes has to do to put the archive up is he has to actually go in manually and boost levels for every time somebody talks on the phone.
I'm talking about the sound quality.
It's really your fault, Rebel, because you're talking on the phone, and your levels are way down.
Look, it's all set.
Make my volume louder. I'm talking about the sound.
It doesn't matter how loud you are here. For some reason on YouTube, it gets way low, and everybody complains. I know this. We need to put some kind of compression in or something. I don't know, but we need to test it in order to do this, and that means communication.
Okay, now I'm talking.
Now you're really far away.
Now I'm the Bluetooth headset. I guess I sounded better on the wired headset.
You know, you're going to drive Jim's crazy because you're demonstrating how low you sound, and he's going to boost that and make it sound normal, and it's just going to he'll be institutionalized by the end of the week.
Okay, but my point is that when I use my headset, and if I called your cell phone, I would sound clear. I would sound clear. If I called your cell phone.
I'm not sure that's what it takes to make you sound clear. It's a long process. It's going to take work.
I called my friend's cell phone with this Bluetooth headset with my cell phone, and it sounded clear.
How do you know how it sounded to them? You don't know how it sounded to them.
Well, because I gave him my Bluetooth headset, and I had him talk, and I heard on my cell phone or on his cell phone that it sounded good.
And you spend your week doing things like this.
Well, when we go to the... You're going to be at the meeting Friday?
Oh, there's a meeting on Friday. Rob, kick in here. Tell us about meetings. Hang on.
There is indeed a meeting on Friday. If you go to 2600.com/meetings, you can find one near you. You can start one near you. Hackers from all over the place convene and hang out. Friday's first Friday of the month.
We should have said that on the radio. And in fact, I should have mentioned how to get to YouTube on the radio. I forgot that as well. Kyle, can we break in on the current show and just announce that? Because I feel like we let our listeners down by not giving them all the information that we need. No, we can't do that? What, some kind of rule?
Sure.
Can we just break in?
Break into...
To BAI, just to make an announcement. It's important.
I think they may have some other programming, but...
I know.
I think if we're quiet, I mean, we could just... Sure. You know what?
What if we just take one speaker? Can we take the left speaker and they have the right speaker?
Don't ask me something like this. I mean, if you're serious, if there was an emergency, if something happened, if, you know, we could make some calls.
Okay.
We could set something up if there was, you know, a crisis.
I'm curious what kind of crisis would...
Don't ask me to do something unless you really want that done.
That's not just directed at me, folks. That's directed at all of you. Do not ask Kyle to do something unless you want it done. All right? That's always been the understanding. And Gila, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I did want to point out that according to the WBAI website, the show that is currently on the air on BAI is at least being co-hosted by someone who has shuffled off this mortal coil. So maybe...
What are you implying here?
BAI
is connected to what lies beyond?
They're playing.
I think it just means they haven't updated their website information.
Yeah, that sounds a lot more likely. That sounds like very possible, in fact.
But what I was going to say was, if one of the hosts is in fact no longer on this side, yeah, they may need us to break in just so something's going on.
This took a turn, didn't it?
It's dark. I do apologize. Did want to shout out everybody in the chat tonight. The chat is popping this evening. Bobcat did ask, why isn't Junce on the show? He's fun. And I don't know if that was to imply that the rest of us are not fun.
Oh, no, we're not fun. We know that. And Junce is the life of the party. There's no question about that.
Oh, no question.
But
no
that's
question.
Why it's hard to get him, because he's in demand. He's probably on some other station right now.
Next question.
Is there a next question? We still have Rebel on the phone. I turned him down.
Patient.
You know how frustrating it must be? Rebel, it's frustrating, right, being on hold?
Oh, you didn't hear what I was saying?
No, you were talking while we were talking. You see, you have no regard for us talking. You just kept going, thinking that we were listening to you, but you must have heard our voices.
I've heard your voices, but I mean...
And you just kept going. You just kept talking, regardless of the fact. You see, when you have a radio station, you can turn people down. You can turn people up, and then... That was your cue, Rebel, to say something.
Okay.
And then you can turn them down.
We've made a lot of progress
here. We've made a lot of enemies here.
I think this session has been,
good work.
Powerful, yeah.
It's a breakthrough today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good session for everybody. We'll see you again next week, same time. Be sure to take the prescription.
And we'll see you at the meeting.
All right, so, Rebel, I assume you're trying to tell us that you're going to be at the meeting.
Yeah, of course. Will you be at the meeting? Because maybe we can, I could demonstrate the telephone qualities.
Well, I would like nothing better. I'm not sure. It's always a last minute decision if we're going to be at a meeting and which meeting it might be. Where are we?
I actually just lost my cell phone, so I don't know where it is. I don't think I can help.
You lost your cell phone?
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
Isn't that why you have three?
I don't know where they are.
You lost all
my cell phones. They're just vanished.
Even the black one? We shouldn't be talking about this on the air.
But, yep.
Okay. All
that
right.
One too.
We have some talking to do afterwards then. Rebel, anything else?
Okay, I'm back on the wired headphone now.
I was talking the whole time. Uh-huh, okay. Let's wrap this up, even though it really didn't get off the ground.
Let's see. Let me know in the chat how the quality is, because if it's not good, then it's your thing.
It sounds like you're far away and a little muffled, if I have to be honest.
Okay, how is that?
Now you sound closer, scarily so, but definitely clear.
Okay, now how do I sound? Because I'm now, the microphone's down.
Well, whatever you're doing now is making Kyle laugh uncontrollably, so I don't know if that's the effect you're going for. Gila, go ahead. What do you have to say about this?
Rebel, chat kind of turned on you a few minutes ago, so I don't know if anybody's going to be commenting on the headset differences, but have you considered becoming an eye doctor just to be able to go, is this better, is this better, is this better, is this better?
Hold on, let me... Wait. Okay, now hold on.
Yeah, you see, this is what happens. He puts us on hold, and we fall for it every time.
The Bluetooth headset. Okay, now I'm talking into the microphone.
What are we even for?
I don't understand any of this. I don't know what's going on. I wish we had two lines, because we could just, see who else is calling. We only have one line.
Mix it like a nice bed.
See that somebody else is trying to get through. I'm sorry, Rebel, go ahead. What about people in the chat?
Well, people in the chat say that this Bluetooth headphone is not good, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to say that it is not the Bluetooth headset that's the problem. It's whatever you're calling into.
So it's us. You're saying it's us. We're the problem.
Yeah. But you figured it out.
We talked
Move on.
Well, we talked last week about compression. I know that last week we said that me talking on my cell phone just without any headphones or headsets, connected, it sounds better. I don't know why, but it just, maybe...
You know,
I don't know if
this
I
is like one of those ham radio conversations where the people spend 45 minutes talking about their equipment and never get past that and never actually have a conversation.
I'm going to be going to...
Hear each other.
Take ham radio classes and, you know, maybe I'll take the test for ham radio.
That would be something to see. That would be something. Rebel, it's been great as always. Thank you for calling. Please continue your tests and whatever it is you're doing.
It's good practice.
Yes, good practice. And we must move on and give somebody else a chance, maybe the person who was aggressively calling us before. 802-321-4225. That was pretty enlightening, you know, even a little entertaining at times. But I feel kind of worn out.
I don't want to be blamed. You know, we're here. Calls are there. The people listening, presumably, now and in the future are also there. And, yeah, there's more things we can do, but we don't have the cables ready, and it takes testing, like E insinuated. And, yeah, I don't know. Speak clearly.
Yes.
It's set to a certain, you know, degree, but it's not great. So
we're doing the best we can. We'll try to do better. We'll see what...
We'll try. We'll just try different phones.
Are you going to pick up that phone?
Yeah, I'm about to. Yeah. Right. I made my point.
All right, good. Did you pick up the phone?
Presumably,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, well, you didn't say anything, so I wasn't sure if you picked it up or not.
Yeah, I said...
Okay.
Well, I didn't say necessarily.
All right, all right. Misunderstanding. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
I'm the guy that called you in the beginning.
The guy that... you're the guy that called us in the beginning. You're the guy with the dog in Queens, right?
Right, and I got a vote to pick with you guys.
Uh-oh. Well, it's not my fault.
He is honest.
You guys are still going to talk to me. Okay. You talk about... You think it's okay to block Twitter, but you got no problem in having all kinds, you know, back in the good old days with the phone company said, oh, they shouldn't be telling people what to do. That's the first thing.
Who shouldn't be telling who what not to do?
Listen, when we were all hackers, we all believed in freedom. We believed that big companies or governments shouldn't control what we do with telephones.
Yeah, we still believe that. And Twitter's a big company.
Right, but hold on a second. Should we stop blocking companies? If you don't like what Twitter is doing, you don't have to go there. If you don't like what someone's saying, it's just like with BAI. I'm not a big fan of BAI. I think they're too far left. But they got a right to be on the air. But if you had certain people in government would say, wait a minute, BAI is against you.
Yes, but you know what? BAI is a radio station. We follow FCC rules. If we stop following FCC rules, we wouldn't be on the air. And what Elon Musk wants to do is not follow Brazilian rules, whether he agrees with them or not. You're operating in another country. You have to follow the rules of the other country.
But the internet is worldwide. Are you starting to say that companies, governments, should start blocking
The bank account in Brazil is not worldwide. It's a Brazilian business. So the Brazilian business has to follow Brazilian rules, period. And what Elon Musk is doing is pretty reprehensible as far as encouraging hate speech and not doing anything responsible that other social media companies are doing.
Listen, I can listen to BAI. One man's hate speech may be one man's agreeable. I listen to BAI. I don't like what they say about Israel. I don't like what they say, where they say Israel's so wrong. That's hate speech.
I don't know if that's hate speech or just a different opinion. It depends on how it's presented. What I'm referring to is something very definitely hate speech, saying you should burn a hotel down with people in it. That's hate speech. Okay?
That I totally disagree. You're right about that. If I say burn down a building, that's wrong. But I hear stuff on BA that come very close to saying, hey, anti-Semitism against Jews. I have a hard time pronouncing the word. But my bottom line is this. I don't know if you know this, but there's a rumor around that Elon Musk is going to put up some satellites and fly them over that country and give Wi-Fi.
He's already doing that. He's already doing that, and they're taking action against SpaceX Starlink for not complying with the rules of blocking access to Twitter. And I think they've yielded to that. I think finally,
because that it's free. Basically, but what he's probably going to do is say, okay, I'll provide free internet. And you guys are right. What are you going to do, start fining people?
Look, he's already complied. He's already complied with similar orders from India and from Turkey. Why? Why would he comply with that and not Brazil? The reason is Brazil is leftist right now, and those countries are right-wing. So that's really what this is about. I want to let Rob say something here because he's got his hand up. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'm starting to think of this like, you know, if you in this country, you know, you're allowed to get a driver's license, learn to drive, and if you demonstrate your ability, you'll get your license and you're allowed to drive. But if you're out there driving and you're doing it dangerously and you're doing it in a way that is a public hazard, they will, you know, punish you, and among the things they will do is take away your license, and you're no longer allowed to do that thing. And if Elon's company is out there in Brazil doing the local equivalent of being a public hazard, in this case very much connected to real world things that happened and hurt people, he was getting penalized for that, and he just decided nope, and the company is suffering as a consequence.
This is not the right example, but I want to get this out before you guys, you know, hang up on me. Let's go back to the 60s and the 70s when countries were jammed on shortwave. We, you know, Russia would jam Voice of America, and we would jam Moscow, and we would not allow people to say things. You can't use the word of a car. This is freedom of speech. What I'm saying to you is my opinion. Should the government come in and say, what I'm saying is not truthful? It's just someone's opinion.
Yeah, you're expressing an opinion. What you're doing is completely legitimate. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about hate speech. We're talking about calls to violence and things like that that Elon Musk refuses to police.
What's happening now? Do you think it's hate speech when you have a bunch of people saying what's happening in Israel and painting stuff on buildings and stuff, is that wrong or right? I mean, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Of course I agree that we shouldn't have hate speech. But I think people have freedoms. Also, should we have people monitoring phone calls? Telegram or any of that other stuff is like a monitoring of communications. The phone company needed to get a warrant to listen on calls, okay?
Right.
What I say to you, if we're speaking privately, that's our business. I don't believe in Big Brother. Look at what's happening now with Big Brother, with things like Tesla, where cars are spying on people. You know, the cars now, you know, because they have video connections, they can take pictures. Do you believe in a state, in a state government where Big Brother monitors every movement? You should read 1984.
I have read it on a number of occasions, but it's kind of strange to me that Elon Musk's company would be the one you're citing as spying on people. If he has such a pure view of what free speech and privacy is all about, he wouldn't be tolerating that, would he?
Well, listen, do I agree with everything he does? No. But I think there should be free speech. Do I think we have a right? Listen, you guys may not like it. I'm a Trump supporter, okay? Do I think it's right to take Trump off? No. Do I think it's right for other companies to take off the left side? No. I think both sides have a right to say what they want to say, and it's up to the individual. Yes, if I go on and say, go down to XYZ store and burn that store down, then that would be wrong.
Okay, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that.
Political statement.
That is the kind of thing that the Brazilian court is upset about, that he is basically allowing hate speech against people there, against opposition current politicians, and has no accountability, has no responsibility. That's not right. You have to take responsibility for things that are going on your platform.
You believe in the First Amendment?
Yeah, I think I do.
Well, the First Amendment says almost all speech. Yes, you can't yell fire in a movie theater, but you can say a lot of stuff. But I don't see, yes, that what happened in England is one thing. But if I go on and start talking about I don't like policies or I don't like immigration, they can say that's hate speech.
Well, that's a stretch. That's a big stretch. That's not what we're talking about. And also, the other thing you have to consider, the First Amendment does not apply in other countries. It's only in the United States. So other countries have different rules.
But you got other countries now trying to come and arrest people in the United States. If you, I don't know if you know this, in England, they can ask the U.S. to send someone over to their country, what the word is, if you violate their laws.
Yeah, and we've been doing that forever. Julian Assange, remember? that was a whole big thing, and many times that happens.
And guess what? I thought Julian Assange did the right thing, okay? Some people would say no. Some people say, hey, he has to be arrested. I think what he did was okay in some ways, just like the Pentagon Papers, you know? You know, some people would say that's against the government, you know? You know, sometimes you need to break the glass to change things in this world. And by the way, if you start putting up firewalls and saying, oh, your internet can't come here, then the internet is no longer free and it breaks down. The internet was designed so that you couldn't stop communications. It was designed for multi-path communications. You know, it was designed as a web that if you cut off one leg or one arm, it would find a way around.
It is true that you got to have the ability to speak so that people can be aware of what discourse is out there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if it is suppressed and underground, it manifests and surfaces in often violent ways. So yeah, you have to understand what people are feeling and what people are saying. But the government cannot always just be cleaning up, okay, the side effects of that. And by coming up with standards and working on this with private industry so that it doesn't erupt in unrest and or attacks on individuals or vulnerable people, then which is not the case. There's resistance, and it is being shrouded in this idea of speech, which is allowed, but it is not allowed to the effect of everyone who is, the target of it.
So who should be the moderator? Because governments usually overstep their powers, and usually governments come dictators. Governments come very vindictive. You give a little power, they take a lot of power. Mm-hmm. And just, I'll make just one comment about January 6th. I think that January 6th was a setup by the FBI and other governments, by the United States government. I think that some of those people that caused some of that problem weren't there for Trump. They were there to do this because they were, you know, they were voting at that moment. They were voting on should they, you know, certify the election. Why stop it? If I was Trump, there's no reason I would have let it go on. But to have a riot at that time, that hurt Trump more than helping him.
Well, yeah, so, not now he knows that. But, it was the law that was being followed. The election was being certified. It wasn't a decision whether or not to follow the law. There was only one way that could go.
Right, but I'll also say another thing. If you want to talk about conspiracies, I think that Trump set up his own shooting. Because
I don't think even Trump believes that, but all right.
Because I'm going to tell you something. A bullet comes that close, you're gonna be able to do it that carefully. I don't even know if that was the blood from a bullet, because my air doctor said to me, he saw that, and he said, you get a bullet that close, even if it didn't hit you, you've got to cause damage to the air.
I got to say, I agree with you on this, because I was asking the question, well, couldn't that have been, you know, they said like a teleprompter shattered nearby. Could it have been something from that? And Trump's reaction to people who were suggesting that was really anger. You know, like, how dare you suggest that I wasn't hit by a bullet? He really wants that narrative to be out there. But again, you know, being hit by a bullet that close, it just feels like it might cause a lot more damage than that. It kind of seems like shrapnel or something.
I was talking to my air doctor, and he said to me, hey, as a doctor, I don't believe it. There's something to it. So why would he, you know, why would the Secret Service help us do it? They want to see Joe Biden and, you know,
yeah, how about the person that died? There's a person who died as a result of this, and there's also the shooter who died. You think they went to all that trouble?
Well, I, I will tell you this much, just like what happened to Kennedy, I don't trust this government.
Well, I don't trust any government. I don't think anybody should trust any government, but there are degrees to how much you distrust.
Well, I believe that Kennedy was assassinated by our own government. I don't know who would have gained by this, by the setup. I can't figure this out. You know, who would have gained by this? I can't figure this one out. But
well, I can tell you this. Trump definitely tried to gain from that as much as possible at the RNC, you know, with that very, very clean and square bandage that he wore the whole week and then removed on Friday. He gave his best shot. No pun intended. But
just because I'm going to vote for him doesn't mean he's a perfect guy, but I'm just telling you that it's so hard to believe the media. You believe Fox or you believe CNN? I mean, you know, Fox is all the way to one side. You know, who's giving you the straight media?
Again, I don't believe either of them, that there are degrees to which I don't believe them. So I'll leave it at that. Closing thought here, because we have to move on.
I don't like the Soviet Union, but now we want to close down our radio, RT, you know, we're going to get to censorship. You know, be careful what we ask for. That's all I can say. Hey, guys, I might be there Friday, but I had to say what I had to say.
Okay, well, I'm glad you did. Don't let anybody keep you from saying what's on your mind. That's important.
I hope you guys don't take anything I said personally.
Not at all. I like arguing. I really do. All right, say hi to your dog for us, and maybe we'll see you on Friday.
Right next to me, heard you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That dog's not voting for Trump, I'll tell you that right now. I have it on good authority. The dog is not going to vote for Trump. I mean, do I really have to prove why? 802-321-4225. Thanks, guys, for all the backing up there as I was defending democracy on my own. Okay.
I don't think we could really get a word in edgewise there. It was pretty intense.
Alex, you're a lawyer. It's your job to get a word in edgewise.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, with the delay and all that.
What delay?
Well, the delay between me trying to talk and then going and moving the mouse and hitting the mute button to turn it off.
It was that involved to simply speak, but okay, that's...
It's a big issue.
So nice.
We have another phone call.
So nice.
Boy, they're rolling in tonight.
Call, yeah.
All right. This is what happens when we bring up interesting topics. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. First of all, I want to commend you on an excellent program, the one on BAI.
Thank you.
You really framed the issue. And, you know, I don't say that lightly. Sometimes I'm critical of you. I think part of it may be that you didn't do any pitching. But you really stayed on topic, and it was an amazing, good conversation. Now, relating to the phone call, last night I was having a conversation, I'm not being ageist, with a little older friend. You and I, Emmanuel, are the same age. Don't ask me how I know this, but I know that. And, you know, it's interesting that this guy with the dog, I mean, your name is Emmanuel Goldstein, and yes, you, if you read 1984. Obviously, he either doesn't listen or he doesn't put two and two together. And, you know, with relation to my friend, people of a certain age who were adults in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s, have certain convictions referring to freedom of speech, and they sincerely don't understand that the situation now is different. It's not a matter of saying whatever you have off the top of your head. Twitter and other social, antisocial, as I like to call them, networks, allow people to scream fire in a crowded theater, the equivalent. And these people, you know, the guy who called and my friend and many others, don't understand the difference between just being able to have a discussion and having businesses that thrive on divisions, on hate, and just make money because people are arguing constantly, and the consequences are there. As you said, in England is very visible. We have equivalent here too. You know, January 6th was largely the result of online activity, then, of course, Trump incited the riot, and that's why he's on the hook. And I predicted this. The moment he got into the White House, I said, this is going to be the first ex-president who will go to jail. And they have to put him in jail simply because the system has to defend itself. It has to show that this cannot be done without consequences. Because otherwise, you know, the next guy, who certainly is not going to be, you know, once Harris, hopefully she gets in, when her term or terms will be out, she will go. But there may be someone else. If Trump is not punished, as he should be, I mean, in my view, he's responsible of high treason and should be hung. But that's a different story. Let's just stick to the charges that are on the book right now. He has to go to jail. It's as simple as that. The charges are substantiated. There will be a trial. And he will go to the slammer. The system has to defend itself.
Well, the system right now,
I don't want to take all your time.
It's not as pure as we'd like it to be. He definitely has some cards up his sleeve, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, the system maintains its integrity or gets more integrity. But thanks for your thoughts.
And my pleasure. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
All right. Take care. I fear I might have veered into some specific topics that really aren't that relevant to the show itself. But when you talk about free speech, I guess people feel compelled to bring up free speech, and that's fine. That's fine. So,
well, I think there's a lot of intertwined topics because the value of where we're getting other speech is being sort of put into question, and it's also heightened at a time of a real political inquiry when there's a lot of things culminating and centered around the next couple months and next year, and the people will be put to asked the big question. They will be the appeal of the United States government will be to its people about what leadership direction is appropriate, and that's itself really a whole mess of other topics for people originating here in the United States. And it even encompasses people from around the world that may be listening or chatting or following along at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can see why. It's not surprising that it is moving around like this, and people are really passionate and rightfully, because a lot of the things that we understand, the ways we understand them, have to be passed along in some ways, even questioning the government. And I think there's some of that in the conversation, too, and trust of certain entities and how they work.
Right.
But, you know, hey, what's it all for, though? Like, are you questioning the idea of government in the ways we are self-governing?
Hopefully questioning everything. Yes, that's what it's all about.
Very, very fascinating, but varied
in a respectful manner. And you know, I really hope that this contentiousness ends at some point, and that maybe, you know, after a couple of months, we can actually start working together again. That'd be nice. We'll see. We'll see. Okay, I was going to give out the phone number, but the phone has already rung, and we already have a phone call. Good evening, here on Off the Cover Time. Oh, for God's sake!
Yeah, my name is Ryan, and I just wanted to make a comment about the gentleman who called earlier, that the Trump supporter.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what his name was. But he was talking about the free speech thing, and one of the problems with Americans, to me, Americans have this ego. They think however things work in this country, that's the way it ought to work in other people's country. Like, you can't impose, whatever Elon Musk does here, you can't impose that on Brazil or mm-hmm. anywhere else.
Right.
They have their own laws. They have their own thing. So, you know, a lot of Americans just think that whatever works here, then they should be free speech everywhere. No, because this is everybody's an individual country, and they run it the way they see fit. You know, and the other thing, he mentioned that America has, now they have this thing where other countries can, I guess, extradite America's. Well, Americans have been doing that forever. You know mm-hmm. how many people Americans extradite from European countries? They've been doing that forever. I mean, these countries rarely, almost never actually extradite people from the U.S. I mean, the U.S. is the one that always does that. If you look at the ratio, most of these extraditions are the U.S. doing it.
So, yeah, it's this feigned indignation. Yes, feigned indignation about how it's happening to us. My God, they're taking our citizens when we've been doing it forever. It's like the world court. You know, we have to hold dictators and people who violate the law accountable, no matter where they are, unless they're in the United States, and then we'll send the military to defend them, no matter who they are. It's hypocrisy.
Yeah, but mileage varies with some of that.
Oh yeah, on every case.
The comparisons. I don't know.
Go ahead, caller.
Anyway, no, that's it. I just want to respond to that guy. He had a lot of stuff on his mind, and he was just, you know, and I just found him interesting. You know, he was making a lot of points that I thought were interesting, but.
Well, I'm glad he got to make his points. I mean, the important thing is that you know you're able to make an argument and back it up.
Yeah, and I'm glad you spoke to him and you had a good conversation. It was an interesting conversation, honestly. It was a fun conversation.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, and hopefully we have more conversations like that.
All right, thanks. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, thanks for your call. Take care. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our telephone number if you want to get in on the conversation that's happening now.
You know, speaking while we're waiting for a call, speaking on what you mentioned about, like, in a few months, can we all get back to, you know, maybe working together again on things? I am just, whatever side of the aisle you're on, whoever you're voting for, I wonder how many others out there feel like I do, where I will just be so glad after the election's over. I'm very frightened about one particular possible outcome of it, but I will be very relieved when we don't have to talk about this election anymore.
Yeah, I said that last time, too. I did. It didn't quite pan out that way. Gila, go ahead.
Don't forget about midterms.
That's what I was going to say,
Thank
Kyle. There is never a time when we're not in the middle of a campaign. It's nonstop now, and I think that it might behoove us as a nation to reconfigure how some things are set up. And one of our listeners in Denmark just said, I hope you have a safe election. And, yeah.
I think this life cycle might be instructive for quicker elections in the future, because that's come up. I mean, as you pointed out, this is a much shorter...
Considering one of the candidates was only announced, a month ago? Maybe that's how we do it in the future. Maybe we just start, you know, the year of the election and not announce anything until June.
There's a phone call.
There's a phone call. All right, good evening. You're on Off the Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, Governor.
Is this Zap from England?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's been a long time since we heard your voice.
Yeah, and nobody's died, so I don't have any bad news.
You always call us when someone dies, so that's good to hear that. Well, nobody we know died, but I'm sure people are dying all the time. But how's everything else?
Yeah, I kept hearing you mentioning England and the recent riots, so I thought I'd phone in
as
a reporter from the UK.
Okay, tell us the real story.
Well, what you said is more or less what happened. There was misinformation on Twitter being spread around, and all the bigots jumped on it and basically decided to go looting, is really what they were doing, and destroying things. But no, in this country we don't have a freedom of speech. We think we do, but we don't. So we have to be very careful what we say and what we say online now, because people that have been tweeting naughty things are being arrested, going to court, and going to jail.
Yeah, I mean, they're already in jail. It's incredibly fast how the system over there works. But what do you think about that? Do you think that's being handled in the right way?
I think some of the sentences that are being handed out are a bit extreme. I mean, some people are going down to prison for 5 years for what they wrote on Twitter. I don't agree with what they wrote on Twitter, but I don't think they should be getting 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's turning out to be a bit costly.
I don't know what they said. I don't want to repeat what they said, but undoubtedly it was something horrible, something having to do with violence or hate mongering or things like that. But you know, there needs to be some kind of price to pay for calling for horrible things like that. That can happen, oftentimes do happen. But maybe what you're saying is maybe it is a bit extreme. That could be, you know, part of the emotion behind it, and maybe it'll be reduced in the future. But I think it sends a message that, okay, you do this kind of crap, and we're going to come down hard on you, and maybe people won't do that kind of crap.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were trying to stop the civil unrest, and that's what they were really trying to stamp out. But the only way they could really do this is to go after the people that were posting on Twitter, Facebook, and other social medias are available, and send out a clear message. Now, the other thing is we've just got a new government in power. We've got the Labour Party back in, so they need to start doing things. And I think they were trying to be very proactive and to show, like, we mean business.
Mm-hmm. And do you think a conservative government would not have done that?
I'm not too sure, really. They may have done. We had some riots, I think it was in 2012, was the last time there was some major riots in the land. So this is the only time there's been a little bit of major civil unrest. Mm-hmm. And everything's been going downhill since Brexit, and that was in 2016. So things are always a bit dodgy now.
I hate to say we told you so, but this time people in America did say that's going to be downhill if Brexit goes through. It's so sad.
It's kind of built in, too, for this attitude of being ready to go for something, you know, whatever, like we talked about, a racist backlash or whatever it is that people want to have it out like this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and all the riots in the past, usually they were tied to some kind of policy, that's some kind of change, something they were upset at the government about. But this was particularly scary because it was, you know, tied to specific people, you know? And if you want a flashback to how the Holocaust began, things like this, where people took to the streets and targeted other people that weren't like them and started burning things, and you got to step in and stop that because it'll mushroom out of control faster than you can believe.
Yeah. I do have to disagree on you. I think the last time I remember riots is 2010, and that's where the police shot a young black guy and a few people were up in arms, so they started rioting in the local area.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the summer holidays. There's all the kids not going to school because they're on holiday, and they just use it as an excuse to go looting. A time before that, I remember it was in the 80s, and that was on the minority groups from black people, and that was the Brixton riots.
Right.
Those are the only riots I really remember in my life, and I've been around quite a while now.
Good special songs out of those riots. I remember that, you know. Ghost Town, and but the thing is, those were civil unrest just in general against police brutality or against economic problems or things like this. This one though, it was, you know, these people are evil, these people are bad. When first of all, it was a complete lie. Even if somebody from that community had been the perpetrator, which they weren't. It's just a really scary thing to see that happening, to see a group of people being targeted by another group of people, and for people to think, oh, it's just free speech to, you know, say, go get them, and let's do this to them. You know, they would be, in Germany in the early 40s or late 30s, they would be saying, yeah, it's just free speech. What could happen? Give me a break.
Yeah, we all learn everything from history, hopefully. We know what happened in the 1940s, the Second World War. But, England is basically on a tipping point now, and they're not very happy about the foreigners, shall we say, which is scary, considering my background. But, after Brexit, everything is really going downhill. I don't know how we can recover that. Hopefully the new government will do something to improve people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's not working out because they're taking away money from the old people. In winter, they're taking away the fuel bill stuff. So early days are not looking good.
Well, that's unsettling. Hang in there. It's just beginning. You know, the new government has just taken power, so hopefully they get it right and don't screw things up. I mean, come on, what they were left with, it's kind of hard not to improve on that. So I hope they find their way.
That's true.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, what you say about not liking the foreigners, we have the same thing here in this country. The thing is, what we can point to is we're all foreigners. Unless, you know, we're indigenous, we came from someplace else. We all came from someplace else. In England, you don't really have that. You have people that have been there literally for centuries. Not the people, but the families. And so you have this entitlement that can lead to real animosity and hatred and ignorance and all that kind of thing. So it's a tougher battle. It really is. And this is one of those things where I feel fortunate to be here because, you know, we've got a lot of evidence to say this particular viewpoint is completely wrong and against what the country stands for. It's a little harder in England's case, I think.
Now, this is a first. This is the second time I'm going to have to disagree with you, Emmanuel.
In the same phone call.
We'll have to go back in the recording to find out the first one. But the second one's going to be that people forget, in the history of Great Britain, Britain has been invaded by everybody. The Vikings, the Normans, who else? The Romans. So there's been a mix of British blood. There isn't anything that's really considered British. I mean, the Scots, they've got a different story. Same with the Irish. But Britain has been invaded and the blood has been mixed so many times. There not really is like an Englishman, if you know. A typical, I could say I'm a strong, proud Englishman, you know. Uh-huh. Because they've been invaded left, right and centre. And the only reason I know this is because my immigrant father pointed it out to me to say that the English don't really exist because they've been invaded left, right, and centre, so the blood's mixed all over anyway. So who's the proper Englishman?
Okay, I stand correct. When was the last time England was legit invaded?
Oh, I'm not very good on the history. I would say it must have been around about the Norman times, the Normans coming in with the Anglo-Saxons.
Well, how am I going to know that? When was that? What year?
William the Conqueror.
William the Conqueror?
Yeah, 1066.
1066? You still have it. You still have us beat. We've only been here a couple of hundred years, at most.
400-ish.
But most people have, you know, their families immigrated in the last century. So, yeah, okay, I think we're both saying the same thing here. It's just that there's so much more history in England.
Yeah. Well, it's your fault for throwing us out from, well, it's 1775 or whenever it was.
Yeah, the thing.
Six.
What might have been?
I guess it was five.
Well, they had to prepare paperwork for. Anyway, Zap, I'd love to have this conversation forever. And you know what? We have to head over there and have more of these conversations because it is good to talk.
Yeah, I'm glad you were at DEF CON. You were talking to some lady from the Manchester 2600?
That's right. We met one of the Manchester 2600 people. And, boy, they're amazing people you have over there.
You made her day. And the other thing I'd like to say is I know there's meetings on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of a problem with the Bournemouth 2600 because they're celebrating their new two-year anniversary from version 2 of the meeting, and they're not doing a proper meeting. They're going to a restaurant or something, so it might be a bit dodgy.
Okay.
Twitter for updates.
As long as they pay the fine, we can forget about it.
I'll tell them off. I will tell them. And if you're coming to England, don't come to London.
But London is where all the planes go.
No, because you want to come and see us in the London 2600. Go see the other 2600. They haven't seen you yet. We've seen you like twice.
Yeah, that's true. I do get kind of tiring. I know that. Okay, so tell us.
I like to share.
For the sake of listeners who are still with us, how many 2600 meetings are there in the UK?
I don't know about the UK, but I know there's four in England. I think there's one in Scotland, and there's two in Ireland, one on the English side, one on the Irish side that I'm aware of.
Well, since you're in England, tell us about the four in England.
There's Bournemouth, Cheltenham, London, and Manchester so far.
Okay. I don't know the first two. I really don't. I don't even know where they are in the country.
Cheltenham's a little bit up north. Manchester's further up north. You've been to Manchester before.
That one I know.
I'm trying to think. And Bournemouth is down southwest.
Okay. Coast. All right.
All a good bunch of people, all inspired by London and basically me, I think.
So, well, you have been responsible for a lot of hacker activity.
Shenanigans, yeah.
Yeah, shenanigans.
Yes. I'm a bad influence, just ask them. Anyway, I'll go and let somebody else phone. I don't know if they're going to get time to get another phone call in. It would be nice. It's been an interesting night today.
It has been, but exhausting. I think we're done for tonight, but we'll hopefully talk to you again.
I'll phone you in. Yeah, I'll phone soon, but I don't like to phone too regular, not like Rebel. But I phone now and again. So if you mention England and I've got a viewpoint on it, I'll phone in.
We'll have to mention England more often then.
Or, I don't know, maybe somebody else dies and I'll phone in again.
Or that. All right, Zap, great hearing
from
you.
Not for a while. All right, take care, everybody. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right, I think that's going to do it for us tonight because I think we're all exhausted, right?
Yeah.
Physically, no.
Okay, fine, Kyle. I mean, you can go on. I'm gonna walk out and have a drink.
I mean, I don't know about you. I've been exercising heavily this entire show, so yeah, I gotta cool down.
We thought you were frozen on the screen a couple of times, but you just weren't moving for long periods of time. But yes, I think we all need to get up and move around a little bit, and maybe. Do something else for a while, but and the same thing goes for our listeners too. Please get out there and have adventures and things like that. Write to us oth@2600.com. That's our email address. Any final thoughts from anybody?
Yeah, local 2600 meeting. Check out nyc2600.net. Follow us on Mastodon, off the hook at hackers.town, and be cool.
Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Oh, nothing really for me. Just good night, everybody. See you all next week on the auspicious September 11th show.
Yeah, what are we going to do for September 11th? You know, the original September 11th, we were supposed to be on the air. That was on a Tuesday, actually.
I remember that. I remember.
Well, you weren't there, though, right?
I wasn't. I don't think I was doing this show with you, but I was in touch with you that day. I think I was going to come into the city and meet you.
And I actually came to the city. I actually drove. I couldn't get further than Queens, east of Flushing, and I had to take a free bus onto a train and take that into the city and kind of make my way downtown, only to find out the station was off the air.
Yeah. I also remember being, I mean, we can talk all about this next week, too, but I remember being in the city the very week after and being downtown and running into... I remember it was Dave Blumenstein who had just told us that he lost like 20-something friends in the tower.
Yeah,
the week before it was, you know,
crazy. Well, maybe next week we can do some recollection of all this because, and certainly people can listen to our September 18th, 2001 show, where we talk about a lot of what had just happened the previous week. How many years is it now? 23 years? Boy, I can't believe how much time has passed.
It's weird. It's weird remembering it and it becoming sort of a mute time to talk about what actually occurred in the run-up and then after. And so it becomes very somber. We hear the names read. And the only other time it's like... really thought about outside of reflection and all of this kind of grieving is when it comes up as a conspiracy. But it really did influence a lot of even, I'd say, the migration and stuff that happened after conflict and I'd say reaction over the next, you know, preceding decades that have brought us to this moment. And I think that's really hard for people that survived it. They were not directly touched by it as far as loss.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost a lot of other things in the process, I guess.
We certainly have, and a lot of it can be traced back to that as well. So, well, I guess we'll have stuff to talk about next week as well, which probably will result in many phone calls. Okay, folks, have a good night. Good seeing everybody. Thank everybody for listening, and be well. Bye.